Alright, so today's is in Yaakov. Is we start from the bottom of Yud Aleph and Beis. We're starting back from the three lines from the bottom, Amar Rav Papa. So previously we talked about that a king in Kohen Gadol can't be on the Sanhedrin to establish when a leap year should be. For opposite reasons. A king pays his army once a year. So normally he'd have to pay for 12 months, so he might want to make a leap year, so that way he's paying 13 months, getting an extra month for free. Versus a Kohen Gadol is afraid that it's going to be cold by the time Tishrei comes if there's a leap year. So he's going to want to prevent there from being a leap year, so that way it's warmer weather. But by the time Yom Kippur comes and he does the Avodah and tables five times and walks barefoot out to Zara all day and basically all the stuff that you do not want to do is when it's cold. So Amar Papa comes on this. Shmamina Shata Basa Yarcha Azil. We see from this that a year standardly follows based on what's expected to be the tkufos. Meaning that you think that there's two options. And there's two options. Either Shata Basar Ar Yarcha Azil or Shata Basar Ar Ibar Azil. That it either follows how it would be if there wasn't leap year, or how it is with the leap year. So you would think that the leap year's purpose is to balance it with a solar year, and therefore adding leap year would make it that's not going to be colder than it should be by Tishrei, but it's the right temperature by Tishrei. So this Braita teaches us that a leap year does in fact make it colder than an average. Sometimes it can make Tkufas Cheshvan come by Tishrei, for example. So I'm going to ask, Amy, is that really the case? Can it really be that you can make a leap year that will mess up the seasons? V'hanach gimel rei bakar. There's a story with three shepherds that we'll see in the story that because of these three shepherds, they commented that the seasons felt abnormally late. And so Rachamim made a leap year in order to bring the seasons to the right time. One of the purposes of leap year is to bring seasons in to the right time, not to bring them early. So that seems to contradict what Rav Papa is saying. So namely, what are these three shepherds saying? There was three shepherds that were standing there. Meshamina Rabbana, and Rachamim overheard them. The Qamri, they were saying as follows. Chad Amar, the first one said, Im Bakir Vilakesh Kechada Yenats Denhu Adar, Im Lav Leis Denhu Adar. This year is abnormally, this year, right now it's Adar, they're saying, it's abnormally cold. Normally, both the early and late harvest start growing at the same time, then that's a sign that's Adar. Because since the ground is already starting to warm up, then the plants are going to start growing already. So right now, it doesn't seem to be Adar season. Nechad Amar, another one commented, In Tar Bitzfar Ar Bislag Yamos, Vitiara Batul to Aina Yidmuth, Yishlach Mashke, Dinu Adar. Imla Lace Dinu Adar. Lace Dinu Adar. The second one said, If a ox in the morning is dying from the snow. It's that in the morning it's there's so much snow, it's so cold that an ox is freezing to death. But in the afternoon, and the oxen are only able to nap in the shade of a fig tree. They can't nap in the open sun because it's so hot. And even then, when they're napping in the shade, they have to rub their hide against, they have to rub their skin against a fig tree because it's so hot. Then, and that's normal adder season. If not, then it's not adder. And the third one said, "Im kidem takif lechada yehi ayefach b'leecha anafik lekibli dinu adar v'im lav lis dinu adar." Or the third one said, "If there's a strong east wind, the Gemara elsewhere establishes that the east wind is a powerful cold wind. So if there's a powerful old east wind that's blowing, and yet when you breathe out, the breath, the warm breath from your mouth is able to overpower that cold air, then that's adder temperature. If not, then that's not adder temperature." Interestingly, the Marsha notes that these three shepherds, the first one is talking about plants, the second one is talking about animals, and the third one is talking about human breath. Tzmeach I'm adder. It's the They're going up in levels of life, of how life forms react to the cold. So, regardless, these are three signs these shepherds were discussing among themselves that it's adder right now, but adder temperature is not here. It still feels like Shvat temperature. And the Chachamim, v'abrei Rabbanan la'ishata. The Chachamim had overheard this, and they made that year a leap year. So that way, the next month was also Adar, and that month had proper Adar weather. Adar Aleph had Shvat weather, and Adar Beit had Adar temperature. Point being that we see that leap years don't make it later in the year unseasonably cold. They make it unseasonably seasonably. They make it seasonable temperatures. So so how could Rav Papa be saying that leap years can make it unseasonable temperature? So my answer is v'sitpura. Do you really think ink it's possible that Rabban are yosesamoch? That the Chachamim are making their calculation based on what shepherds are saying. Shepherds aren't even in kosher for Eidos. Shepherds, as the Gemara says, are assumed to be Eganazim. And there's a chazakah on shepherds that they're Ganazim. Because sheep require a lot of grass, and there's only so much grazing place. Shepherds would often and they graze their sheep in other people's fields.
Oh, okay.
So shepherds are not kashaledos. And so how could they be trusted to make it a leap year? Hello, rather, the Chachamim had their own calculation and made that year a leap year. And these shepherds, it's just that their words end up happening that made the leap year like what they said. The story that Chachamim made their decision based on the shepherds, but the shepherds said, and Chachamim happens to match up with what the shepherds said. And as you see practically nowadays, even sometimes, not always, but sometimes, a leap year, in a year of a leap year, the following in a Tishrei, we'll see that Sukkot is particularly cold season. There's even been times where on Sukkot it snowed. Or, that's They're unusually cold. Normally you'd think that a leap year is supposed to bring it to a normal temperature, but not always is that going to be the case. Sometimes it's going to be a little bit off for various other reasons. And that's still okay. So now the Gemara starts a new subject. Ten Rabbanan, Chacham taught, B'Rashayna, Hayu Avelim Eimdim V'Chala Am Eivrim. In the olden days, mourners would stand, and everyone would go before them. They'd have a ceremony by the Levaya, where the Avelim would stand, and then everyone would walk before them and offer condolences. However, there was two families in Yerushalayim who were constantly fighting each other. Each of them wanted to be first. So because of that, so though it would normally be proper for the mourners to not have to walk around, just in order to keep the peace, they established that that everyone else stays in their place, the mourners walk around, and everyone offers condolences to the mourners as they walk around. Nowadays, the minhag doesn't really... most of these kind of minhagim aren't minhag Ashkenaz. But, yeah. So now a new subject. The Mishnah said, "Melech leidun v'leidun." I say, a king cannot judge and cannot be judged in Beis Din. So, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, "Leishanu al malche Yisrael." This only applies to kings of Yisrael. As we know, by times of Rechavam, son of Shlomo, the kingdom split, with Rechavam being king over Yehuda and Binyamin, and Yerovam ben Nevat being king over the other ten, and Shvatim. And then in Bayis Sheni, the Chashmonaim became kings, and the Chashmonaim weren't descendants of Malchus Beis David, so they too are counted as Malchus Yehuda. Malchus Yisrael. Aber Malchus a Beis David, done with done, I say. However, kings from the house of David can judge and can be judged. The Siv, as the Pasuk says, Beis David, the house of David, Karim Hashem, Dina Eger Mishpat. So says Hashem, your judgment is basically you're going to be judged. So now the Gemara explains and how it's proof that they're going to be judged. How does that prove that they're able to judge? It says that they're going to be able to judge. So now, if they're not able to be judged, this is going back to the Mishnah said, now the Gemara asks, if we can judge them, how would they be able to judge? Beautify other than you shall be. Beautify and be beautiful. Rish Lakish said that beautify yourself and then afterwards you can beautify others. So how come they have to say that they can't be Dutch? And they can't judge. If they can't be judged, then how could they judge? So Ella, rather, the reason why they can't be judged, Malchei Yisrael, my time, their loy, how come they can't, Mishra Maisa Shahaya. There's a story that tells us why they can't be judged, and that's why they're therefore also not able to give judgment.
Is that all the time?
What?
If you can't do something, you can't do it back? Is that...
For the most part, that's a general rule. So, Shaya Avdi Anamalka, a servant of King Yanai, had killed, Josephus identifies this servant as Herod, who later became a king, who later killed the Chashmonaim. And it was a tremendous problem for the Jews. And Josephus identifies as his own ancestor, which means that Josephus is identifying himself as a slave, but that's this matter. This slave killed people. And so now he needed to be judged. So Amal Hushem ben Shatach l'chamim, Shem Meshatach was in charge of the Chamim. Shem Meshatach was actually Yanai's brother-in-law. His sister was Yanai's wife. For due to that position, Shem Meshatach had a certain level of political power that other Chamim didn't have. King Yanai actually promised not to kill them. Various stories which Shem Meshatach's life was in fact threatened by King Yanai until with the help of Shem Meshatach's sister, King Yanai's wife, they were able to get things to work out. So now at this point, Shem Meshatach and King Yanai are in the point where King Yanai is not going to harm Shem Meshatach. So Shem Meshatach's basin is pretty much the only basin that's going to judge King Yanai. So Shem Meshatach tells King Yanai, "Amid al Raglecha, stand on your feet, v'yeda b'cha, and judgment will be given against you. It's your slave that's killed, but Evan Malka, Malka, Evan Melech, Melech, a servant of a king is a king. It also applies to us. We're Eved Melech, we're Hashem's servants. We're, doing Hashem, like Hashem doing the Torah mitzvahs. When we do Torah mitzvahs, it's like Hashem's doing it. And then turn, as a mitzvah mimer. So stand on your feet, and judgment will be given against you. You're not just standing in front of us. You're not just standing for our honor. You're king after all. You wouldn't have to stand and for this and head for just regular red chamim. As great as chamim are, a king's honor is greater. A king, in some ways, the king's honor is greater. A king's not able to give up his honor, even though Talmud Chacham is. Ella, let's name Misha Amar Vahaya Olam. Rather, you're giving it, you're standing in honor of the Hashem who spoke and the world is created. The Gemara said that a Dayan who judges an honest case becomes a Shutaf with Hashem, with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem stands in the presence of a Beis Din. So being a partner in creation, stand in honor of the one who created the world, Hashem. Note, by the way, that this is part of why Malchus Beis David able to be judged, because if they're told to stand, they wouldn't take as much affront, because they have a special privilege that they're able to sit in the Azara itself. No one else is allowed to do that. So over here they have to stand. Okay, that's because this is a special, an exceedingly special occasion. But versus Malcolm and Beis Yisrael have to stand in the Azara. They don't even have that privilege. So as you see over here, he was affronted by this. He didn't want to stand. Shnemar and Shem HaShatach gave him the pasuk to prove that he needs to stand. As the pasuk says, "V'amdu shnei ha'anashim, mashallah ha'mariv." The two men and who had the argument have to stand before the Beis Din. So Amarlei Yana, he said, "Leitusha etemata al kamasha yemir chaverecha." I know you, Shem and Meshatach. We've had our fair share of arguments before. I know that you tend to be an argumentative type, and you might just be trying to lord your power over me. I don't trust you. I want to hear what your colleagues say. If they say I stand, then I'll stand. But until then, I won't. Nifnali yiminai, kav shupnei bekarka. Nifnali smaili, kav shupnei bekarka. Shem Meshatach turned to the right. Everyone kind of looked away. And to the left, no one wanted... was willing to face Yanai head on and tell him to sit down. Tell him to stand up. So Amar Lahem Shem Meshatach told him, "Bal Machshava Satem, you guys are masters of thought. Normally, Avram are supposed to be like Avram Avinu, with people of action. Like how Avram Avinu, even when it was uncomfortable, even when it was dangerous for him, he stood up to Nimrod and said, 'No, I do not bow to Avodah Zarah,' and was even thrown into a fire for it. You're not Balei Maisa, you're Balei Machshava. It's time for action. You're only thinking of the right thing to do, not actually verbalizing it. So you have a Balei Machshava to be a part of Mekem. So Hashem, the master of thoughts, shall come and they give you what you deserve. And Din Yad Bagavir B'chatan B'karka. Gavir came and slammed them into the ground. They refused to have Yanai stand up, so they ceased standing for good. And so that's amazing. And they passed away. Beis Hashah Amru, due to this whole situation, they said, Melech Vleidan Vleidan, I say. Meid Vleimid, I say. A king can't be involved in a Beis Din because any type of way that he's in the Beis Din, he'd have to stand in honor of the Shekhinah, and it just wouldn't be able to work. So now, in the Gemara, it mentions it in David's wives. Particularly, it mentions in the two of David's wives as Michal and Medav. Both were daughters of Shaul. So, Gemara asked, Shaul is submitted as Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi's students asked him, Heach nasa David shei achayis. How was David able to marry two sisters? an Issa Midaraisa to marry two sisters. Half of a Musaf Tivam is based on that pasuk. So Amar Lahen, so he answered that Michal Achar Mitzas Merav Nasa. Merav passed away, and then Michal, and then after that, David married Michal. The two sisters is unique in Arayas that when another sister dies, it's only a Bechayeyen, that you can't marry the other one. And when a sister died, you can marry the other one.
It wasn't the same thing.
Yeah. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha Amar, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha however disagrees and gives a different explanation. He says, Kedushin Taz, how you're made of. There was a mistaken Kedushin by Merav. David gave Kedushin to both Merav and Michal, but the Kedushin from Merav did not actually take effect. Why? What happened? Shnemar, the pasuk says, Tznas ishti es Michal, asher erasti eli b'mea erlef plishtim. Pasuk says, give me my wife, Michal, who I betrothed to myself with 100 plishti foreskins. Shaul told David, kill 100 plishtim and give me their foreskins, and I'll give you my daughter. That's what this pasuk is saying, that David's asking for Michal. So my Talmud, how do you see over here that Merav was not a full Kedushin? Amra Papa, Michal ishti v'lay Merav ishti. He says, give me my wife Michal. He doesn't say, give me my wife Merav, because Merav wasn't his wife. Merav wasn't a proper Kedushin. Michal was a proper Kedushin. So he says, give me my wife Michal. At least according to David, it was a proper Kedushin. We'll see later that Shaul disagreed, which is why Shaul gave her to Paltiel. So my Kedushin tells, why was this a improper Kedushin? It says, V'hoya ish asher yakenu. The famous story of David and Goliath. Goliath was terrorizing the Jews. Shaul told the Jews that whoever kills him, Yashana Melech Esher Gadol, they spit the Yitzim Loi. The king will make him fabulously wealthy and give him his daughter. So, also, El Yavil Adriel. Ozel Katle. So David HaMelech killed Goliath, as everyone knows how that happened. One of the most famous stories in Torah. Amalei, a malva isli, igabai. So Shaul said, yes, I said that I'm going to give you my daughter. However, that's not a valid kedushin. Because it's a kiddush b'milva. I owe you my daughter. I owe you money, and I owe you my daughter. That's not a proper kedushin. And you're not presently here at the time, for various reasons. So, and it's time for her to be married. So I'm going to marry her off to someone else. So now this kedushin is alone in the kedush. So I was al yavil adriel. So he gave her to Adriel. The chsev ativ es merav bashal le David minas no Adriel ha mechlasi leisha. When it was time for merav to be given to David, she was given into Adriel instead. So Amalei Shaul said, however, I did say that you're going to be able to marry my daughter. So Ibayis is said in Lach Michal, I can give you a different daughter, Michal. If you want, I can give her to you. Zil actually Meir Erlis Plishtim. What you need to do is give me 100 plishti foreskins. Kill 100 plishtim, and before you kill them, maim them. Make them suffer. Azal Aisilei, he went and brought them. Amalei Shaul. Oh, let's now Shaul said, Milva Brata is it, Achabai. I still have this debt I owe you. Plus, there's these foreskins that are worth a small amount of money, which is enough to affect the condition. However, Shaul suffered milva putte data milva. Shaul held that if someone tries to do a condition with both paying back a loan and giving a putta, then he's trying to give the primary thing that he's trying to affect the condition using is a loan. David suffered. David, however, held that the main thing that he's trying to use is the prota. So according to Shaul, it was invalid that Michal's was also an invalid kedushin, and that's why Shaul gave Michal to Paltiel. But according to David, it was a valid kedushin, and therefore Michal wasn't indeed his wife, and that's why he's saying Tznalius Ishi, give me my wife. We may say more, another explanation. The whole alma milva pruta data pruta. Everyone agreed that the focus that's when they're giving a loan and a pruta, the focus is on the pruta. Shaul savar like other lemidi. Shaul however held that these foreskins are worth nothing. David savar chazir lekalvi v'shundri. David however held that they're fit for dogs and cats. Beni Yehuda explains that doesn't Shaul also agree that they're fit for dogs and cats? Rather, Shaul held, if I don't have any dogs and cats practically, so it's worthless for me. I can sell them. I'm a king. I'm not selling stuff that's worth 3 pennies. It's beneath my dignity. So for me, it's worth, for all practical purposes, it's worth absolutely nothing. So spiritually, if there's not sure what's going on over here, we know that David and Shaul come from a Tikkun and Tayu, respectively. And from Omen Iskasia and Omen Iskalia. Shaul's opinion in we see that in Milva Prota. Milva alone is like a concealed thing. It's not, there's nothing actually visibly there. It's you owe. Versus, as David held, that's a physical, tangible thing, Omen de Scalia, that is the focus. Ibe Sema, Shaul saying that that the is 100, it's foreskins. 100 is 10 times 10, the 10 spheres. It's with their 10s, and with chesed, chachma shab chachma, chachma shabina, etc. Shaul was arguing, he's on the level of Almond Iskasia, he's on the level of Imchatasa Matifal Boy. In Sadaka Matitan Boy. That doing the Torah mitzvahs, it's important and for you, but for me, condition is you have to be giving me something of value, and you're not giving me something of value. Because versus David's arguing that the focus here is Omendiscalia, the revealed worlds, and I'm giving these 100 these mitzvahs, these Torah mitzvahs, and therefore I should have Michal, and I should have rights to the throne. It's a deeper side to their argument. Practically, though, what we see is that Meirav, there was no Kedoshin at all, versus Michal, there was at least according to David, which I lost like David, but at least according to David, there was a Kedoshin. Paltiel, interestingly, he did agree with David, however, Shaul was king, so he's not going to refuse Michal into his house. So the pasuk says that the way he did was he stabbed the sword into the bed. He stayed on one side, and she stayed on the other side. He stayed separate from her. He was not either.
Better than
Yosef. Nowadays, we have someone who has both names, named Rabbi Yossi Paltiel. Anyways, Rabbi Yossi, heights not as Ishias Michal, my Darsh Bey. What's this pasuk? Give me my wife Michal. Why is David saying, and give me my wife Michal? What's the pasuk telling us? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Litamei. Rabbi Yossi is following in his own reasoning as you see elsewhere. D'tanya? Rabbi Yossi had a Darsh Shnei Mikrais Me'arvin. Rabbi Yossi taught two psukim together. Ksiv v'yikach ha-melech as shnei b'nei dispa as ayah asher yolda l'shol as armeini ives mitzbeishas v'es chameshis b'nei michal b'ashol asher yolda l'advi'el ha-mechlas yivgeimer. The king took his children and lists the children, and it says as the five children of Michal who were Michal gave to Adriel. Now, was Michal really Adriel's wife? But Palti Benayish, Nina, she was giving to Paltiel. Nichsev b'shal nasan anes Michal bite ishesevid Palti Benayish b'gamer. Ella makish kedushay meirav l'Adriel l'kedushay Michal Palti. It's doing a hekish between in the condition in of Meirav to Adriel to the condition of Michal to Palti. My condition of Michal to Palti Bavera, just like Michal to Palti was an invalid condition. After condition Meirav to Adriel Bavera, so too Meirav's condition was an invalid condition. And therefore, it matches with what he's saying, that Merav did in fact marry David, and then she died, and then and afterwards, David married Michal. So Rabbi Shurab and Karchanami, Haksiv es Chamesh Bnei Michal Bashal. What does Rabbi Shurab and Karcha do with that pasuk, the five children of Michal Bashal, that he gave to Adriel? So Rabbi Yeshua would say, Meirav Yolda Michal Gidla. Meirav gave birth to him, and she passed away, and Michal raised them. Zechach Nikra Ashma, therefore they're named after her. Lamdacha, to teach us, Shekol HaMagadol Yotem B'sech Beisai, Mala Alavakasav Kila Yoldai. Anyone who raises an orphan in their house, Torah considers it as if they gave birth to that child, to that person. Rabbi Chanina gives a different proof. Matkaran la yashchen is shem eime lemer yolad ben lanami. Ruth and Boaz had a child, Eved, and Nami, and the neighbor said that a child was born and for Nami. Now v'chi inami yolda halei Ruth yolda. David was obviously Ruth's child. Nami, he raised him, but as had passed away, so over here it's going up in level of chiddush. Normally, the mother is mostly involved in child raising, so the fact that Mirab passed away and Michal took them in, so it's named after her. So now over here, Ruth is still alive. He lived all the way until Shlomo's times. We know that Shlomo had a special throne for Ruth. However, Boaz had passed away, but it passed away the exact same night that David was conceived. As he fulfilled his tasket in this world. It's a bigger shiddush that even though the child's orphaned from the father, which is less involved, her raising the child still causes that the child's named after her. Rabbi Yechanan gives a big chiddush from here. V'yishtay ha-yehudiyah yaldas yared ed avigdar v'gamer v'ele b'nigis e'vis yashu yald bas parah yashu yald lakach le'mered. His Jewish wife gave birth to Yared, father of Gdar, which is explained elsewhere to that all these names refer to Moshe Rabbeinu. That Yared, he brought down the Torah, Gdar, or Gidar, Persisayan, and etc. So now, Basi was married, husband was married. Married the Kalev. So married refers to Kalev. Women are Shemai Mered. Why is he called Mered? Shemar Basat Meragdin. Mered means rebel. He rebelled against the plan of the Meragdin. So now, Basi Yolda, Vala Yechavid Yolda. Basia wasn't the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was Yechaved. Yechaved gave birth to him, and Basia, though both his parents were alive, for various reasons, he needed to be hidden to protect him from Parai. So she raised him. Lefichach nikra al shma. Rabbi Lotha Amar Melacha, Rabbi Lotha gives an even bigger chiddush. Galta b'zorei ha'mecha b'nei Yaakov yetzisela. You redeemed it with your arm, your nation, the children of Yaakov and Yosef. Sela. Mishi Yosef Yolad? Was Yosef the father of the entire Jewish nation? Or Yaakov Yolad? Mother Yaakov Yolad. Yaakov was the answer. Or Yaakov Yolad, Yosef Kilkel. Yosef sustained the Jews. He didn't even serve as active a father role, and it wasn't even as in it as a and they were still living with their parents, but Yosef was still involved in raising them, and the Pechach Nikra al Shmai. Therefore, the Jewish nation named after him. So it says in the Medrash that at the Gola in Yisrael Mitzrayim, and similarly a Gola from Golas Bavel and other Golas until the final redemption is a Gola that afterwards is Golas, and versus the coming Gola is a everlasting one is the goal of Yisrael Mitzrayim is like a light of a candle that's able to be put out, versus the upcoming one is like the light of day that there's no way to put out. This means that the revelation of the coming Gola will be a light like this out limits. There's no way stopping it. Therefore, it will be an everlasting Gola that there's no Golas afterwards. And halacha from the a woman is able to attach tzitzis to a garment and kosher because she's part of the Bnei Yisrael. Some authorities, however, are like in tzitzis to tefillin, they hold it just like women are not qualified to write tefillin because they're not obligated to put them on, as it's going to say later. Urim, Simin, and Lamed Hes. So too, they're not qualified to attach tzitzis to a garment because not obligated to fulfill mitzvah tzitzis. According to their view, a katan is also not able to attach tzitzis to a garment, even if a adult stands over him and instructs him how to make tzitzis for the sake of the mitzvah. All authorities agree, however, that both women and men are fully qualified to spin and wind the thread, as even lechatchila. The halacha follows the first opinion. Nevertheless, it's lechatchila, it's preferable to make a point of observing the following the second opinion.